The New Testament Epistle of Paul to the Romans, chapter 15, 22 through 16, verse 2. We've been looking at three practical lessons from Romans 15. First, for local gatherings, 1 through 13. For Paul's mission to Gentiles, 14 through 21. And for Paul's soon visit to Rome, 22 through 33, plus the first two verses of chapter 16. Paul had already completed three missionary journeys, as indicated on this map, followed by his imprisonment in Rome. Chapter 15, verse 22. This is the reason that I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, with no further place for me in these regions, I desire, as I have for many years, to come to you. Well, what was that reason? As he says, he was busy proclaiming the gospel. Different from what he said in 1 Thessalonians, when he was hindered by Satan. Where did Paul plant churches? And how could he say he had now fully proclaimed the gospel? Well, he evangelized population centers, the main cities in each province, from whence the local Christians carried the gospel to other towns and villages. And why did he desire to visit Rome? He will make that clear shortly. Now, on the coast of Spain was a new port city called Portus, built by the Romans in the 1st century AD to be their main maritime port. According to this plan, seen in a 16th century fresco in the Vatican Palace. Continuing in verse 24, when I go to Spain, for I do hope to see you on my journey and to be sent on by you, once I have enjoyed your company for a little while. Spain was commonly called the western end of the earth, recalling the words of Jesus to carry the gospel from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That would be Paul's fourth missionary journey, which some call a DMM journey, that is, disciple-making ministry or movement. Today, missionaries distinguish DMM, disciple-making movement, from CPM, church planting mission or movement. Both are necessary and they happen together. To be sent on implies that Paul was requesting monetary or financial support. When he says, once I have seen you, literally in Greek, if I should see you, a grammatical way of asking permission. You see in this picture, the oldest known list of New Testament books, dating to around AD 170 through 200, a manuscript commonly called the Mauritanian Canon. It helps to answer the query, did Paul go to Spain? As early as the years AD 70s, Clement of Rome wrote that Paul had indeed, quote, reached the farthest limits of the West, unquote. The Mauritanian Canon said, quote, when he journeyed to Spain, unquote. And then the apocryphal Acts of Peter, from about the year AD 180, quote, departed from the Roman harbor of Estia, unquote. A tradition lasting into the 4th century, when Cyril of Jerusalem wrote, quote, carried the earnestness of his preaching as far as Spain, unquote. Note the location of the two Roman provinces of Macedonia and Achaia, otherwise known as Greece. Verse 25, at present, however, I am going to Jerusalem in a ministry to the saints, for Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to share their resources with the poor amongst the saints at Jerusalem. He called this a ministry, literally a deaconing. Deacons were those who cared for the poor, and they were pleased to do so. They were what Scripture calls cheerful givers. Elsewhere, Paul had said, God loves a cheerful giver. Why were they poor? Poor folk are often those who are shunned by major religions, not allowed to have jobs, own land, or receive aid. Nevertheless, the poor are called saints. They had received a measure of divine favor, even if not monetarily wealthy. This ancient structure was a Roman bank. In those days, there was no paper money, so all currency was in metal coins, far too valuable and far too heavy to carry to another province. So you took your money to a bank, they issued you a written statement for how much, and often sent another statement to a bank in a different city. When you arrived in that city, comparing your note with their note, they then dispensed to you your money, less a reasonable fee. At the time, there was no crime against humanity known as compounded interest. Verse 27. They were pleased to do this, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, then they ought also to be of service to them in material things. How could they owe it to them? Well, the term here is a noun related to the verb ought. Earlier, Paul had said, owe no one anything except to love each other. Well, spiritual blessings have everlasting benefits, whereas material things meet survival needs in the present. Which is more valuable? Apparently, Paul made a fourth missionary journey between the years 63 and 65 AD, as indicated on this map. Verse 28. So, when I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will set out by way of you to Spain. And I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. Well, when he will have completed this work, that is, his current plan accomplished, I will set out, that is, he exposes his future plan, soon to be initiated. But when he says, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ, seems to say, I will bring a blessing to you. But the Greek verb can easily be translated, and probably ought to be translated, go in the fullness of blessing, that is, Paul will receive Christ's blessing from the Romans as he goes on to Spain. He had said earlier in chapter 1, he wanted to be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Romans 15, 30-33. This ancient fresco shows a Christian man praying with his hands lifted upwards and his eyes wide open. Verse 30. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in earnest prayer to God on my behalf. He appeals by the Lord, that is, Jesus Christ, God incarnate in human flesh, by the love of the Spirit, who is God indwelling with us and among us, and God superintending. So, when we pray, we should make verifiable requests. If we only ask God to be with a Christian person, well, he's already with that person and has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So ask for something verifiable. Then when God grants it, you can give him thanks. James wrote, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Notice whose faces are inscribed on these Roman coins, pagan emperors and governors. Verse 31, pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my ministry to Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. Rescued. Jewish leaders had issued a decree that Paul was to be put to death. And which unbelievers? Roman pagans or angry Jews? Possibly both. Well, why would a money gift not be acceptable? Well, this was all Gentile money, and therefore considered to be tainted or unclean, and in fact was not accepted in the temple. Remember, Jesus had asked, whose likeness and inscription is this, when shown a coin. The saints, remember, at that time at Jerusalem, were mostly Jewish Christians suffering discrimination. Paul wanted to come spend time with the Roman Christians, verse 32, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. Well, God's will in Scripture is usually contingent upon someone's faith or obedience, and not everything we ask is His will. But that's all right. Keep on asking for things anyway, for He will answer when we pray according to His will. Paul expected to arrive in Rome with great joy following success at Jerusalem, and there to be refreshed, a word often translated to relax with friends. And when he says the God of peace, he is citing a Hebrew prayer. In Hebrew, the usual word for peace is shalom, which usually means health or prosperity. Jesus had said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." Before we continue, here is a brief review of New Testament kingdom workers, listed by their kind of gifting. Jesus gives to all churches apostles, who multiply new churches, prophets, those who proclaim truth, evangelists, those who share the good news about Jesus, pastors, who provide care and leadership, and teachers, who make disciples. As Jesus had said, teaching them to obey all my commandments. But these five kinds of men or women may occupy positions within local churches. As such, they are called elders, that is, they are mature, respected Christians. And they are of two kinds. Some are called overseers, who lead by example, and deacons, who are devoted to meeting urgent needs. We note that these are led by the Holy Spirit and have no official or ecclesiastical authority. A desire for authority is one of the great sins of Christian churches. Romans 16, verses 1 through 2, regarding Saint Phoebe. Verse 1, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church at Cyrene, so that you may welcome her in the Lord as is fitting for saints. She is called a deacon. The word deacon has no distinct masculine or feminine form, so a woman can be a deacon. She worked in the church, caring for the poor and other Christian workers. So please welcome her, that is, as the Lord's emissary or messenger, as is fitting for saints, that is, you Romans, who are her fellow Christians. Years earlier, Paul confessed, I locked up many of the saints in prison. Were there women leaders in the early Christian churches? We note that in the first century AD, men and women alike ministered in churches and in Christian mission. Some of those women include these. Amongst the apostles, there was Junia, named in Romans 16:7. Amongst the prophets were Philip's daughters, who prophesied within churches. Two women evangelists were named, Euodia and Syntyche, who used to work with Paul. And in Colossians chapter 4, a woman pastor is named. She was Nympha. And then the woman teacher Priscilla, who trained the famous teacher Apollos. Here are deacons preparing food for the poor. We continue. And help her in whatever she may require from you, for she has been a benefactor of many and of myself as well. To help her on her way means to put things at her disposal. And whatever she requires is literally anything she needs. Jesus had commanded, give and it will be given to you. She's called here a benefactor. This is the noun form of the verb to help. She helped, now help her. She had helped many. Who are some of the helpful individuals in your church. Now, Paul's mention of Phoebe reveals a secret to securing the cooperation of others. This three-step approach increases cooperation or compliance tenfold, both in churches and outside. With others, you first establish a mutually agreed framework, for example, agreeing on a desirable outcome. Secondly, ask someone for a small favor which will be easy to initiate. Then, later on, number three, ask for a big favor which would be hard to implement. Jesus had said, "You had been faithful over a little, I will set you over much." For next time, please read Romans chapter 16 in any language and version of your choice.